From the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Welcome to the hotel hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
With Steve Cofield.
Well, I don't need to shave because it don't grow in right here and right here.
Now you're telling me that you were so ingrained with white trash DNA that your facial hair actually grows in on its own, all white trashy like that?
Adam Hill.
Now, young man, what do you want to do with your life?
Actually, Matt, I kind of want to be a writer.
Well, la-di-frickin-da! We got ourselves a writer here!
And Chrissy Paradis.
This place is crushing my soul.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. Everyone's in a good mood. Rough day, Adam? We'll find out. Well, you know we'll find out. It'll come out in the next couple hours. Why did I close that door? Force of habit.
Dude, this is ridiculous. I know we talk a lot about hashtag drama in the LBC and complain about things. It's got to be 90 degrees in here. It has to be. And I'd prefer hot over cold, but this is...
Oh, I prefer cold over hot.
Okay.
I'm always about freezing. I think it's a problem we had during the summer. The midday morning guy, Bischoff and Jared, are cold when they come in. Maybe they crank it up on the morning show. I forgot we have a morning show now.
Yeah.
So maybe when they get here at 6, it's freaking freezing. But, man, it is boiling in here. And that was after a rough night for you.
That's
so
true.
The boiling just continues.
Emotions boiling. Temperatures boiling. Just a hot day. Raining outside. We're heating things up.
Well, I like that part. You know I love the rain.
True. I don't know why. That's stupid.
What? You're stupid.
Good comeback.
Yeah, we need rain.
I love the rain. I miss, like, rainy, overcast days. But, I mean, we've had, like, a lot recently, so.
A lot of them. It's good.
Rain is fine outside. And but I mean, of course, it's always outside. But, I mean, if you're sitting in here and it's raining outside, cool. Totally cool. But it's a complete inconvenience to everyone when it's actually happening and you have to be outside for some reason. It sucks. It's stupid. It's water falling out of the sky. You can have that anytime you want.
I'd love it right now in the studio.
But yeah, you know what? You're right.
Do we have sprinklers?
I'll take it right now. I'll take it. Although I feel like it would just boil on the way down if it was raining in the studio right now.
Boohoo! Radio guys are hot, and gals.
It's true.
There is actually sweat dropping off my back.
No, I am beyond positive that everyone listening is like, shut the hell up. You're sitting in this, you're just talking on the radio for your job. Like, stop complaining. I am telling you right now, it is hot AF in here, yes. Steve.
I'm very delicate. I need perfect conditions to do a decent radio show. Which the comeback would be, you guys never have perfect conditions, apparently, because the show stinks.
I don't think either one of us has ever cursed on the show.
Pretty close.
I just feel like it's so uncomfortable to the point where, like, if somebody's going to melt down, maybe literally, and it will happen. This is not safe for content.
I don't think you would do that. You are the master of staying composed, and last night was a prime example. I don't know how you did that. So let's get to what happened on the ice first with the Vegas Golden Knights. They blow right now.
Yeah.
They are in a hell of a freaking spiral. 3-7 over the last 10?
Yeah.
Homestand, 8-9 at home. This is when they're supposed to be piling up points, and they're getting ripped in the third period.
Yeah, it's
in back-to-back games last night. The Coyotes, and they were -250 favorites against the Coyotes.
Yeah, that's a game you're supposed to win. Again, we talked about this stretch. 8-9 are at home. This is where you want to take advantage. 6 of those games are against playoff teams. Now, yesterday was not. Yesterday was supposed to be the easy one. And it's, you know, they fight back. They tie it at 2-2. Everything looks good going into the third period, and they completely collapsed again. Over these last 8, you mentioned 3-7, 2-6 over the last 8, and been outscored 13-3 in the third periods of those games. That is not good.
I mean, can I point to the obvious? Is this a tired team? Amazingly, shortly after the break, are they tired? Is that why they're where? Why are they playing so badly in the third?
Well, you know what? It just literally just hit me as you said that. But yeah, I think they're certainly fatigued. Marc-Andre Fleury has played 50 games. No other goaltender has played more than 47.
Interesting.
He's also getting older. There's another defenseman who's a veteran who is kind of a mess right now. And that's in Derek England. It's not good. And he's older too. So I think fatigue is an easy answer to why are they melting down in the third period. But you mentioned they had a break. Remember last year after the break too?
They had a little trouble and we tried to pin it on their Mexican vacation, but then they bounced back pretty quickly.
So maybe it'll happen again. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues. I actually think, and I talked to like four different players today and brought it up to see what they would say. None of them would agree with me. But I feel this is they're in a really, really weird spot right now. If you look at every other team in the league, they're either fighting for a playoff spot or fighting for seeding. You know, San Jose and Calgary battling at the top of the division. Other teams fighting to get into the wild card spot. Maybe fighting to get one of those top three or fighting somebody in second place and third place. The Golden Knights are 9 points out of second, and they're 9 points out of fourth. There's nobody near them. And to me, I think there is part of it of like, they're a little complacent. They're kind of just settled into that third spot, and that's where they're going to be.
They can't move up, and they can't move down unless they completely collapse. Or what do they have, like 23 games left? I mean, you know, they have to go freaking 20-3 to move forward, or they completely collapse, and then all of a sudden someone's breathing down their neck. But as long as they go 500, which right now they're not playing 500 hockey, no. But as long as they go 500, they're safe.
Well, and you know the teams behind them, like Anaheim, completely fell off the map. They're awful now, and John Gibson's now on IR, so they're done. You know, Arizona is stepping up their game a little bit, but they're nowhere close. Vancouver's a team immediately trailing them. They're doing nothing, and they've got some injuries too. So, you know, they're really not pushing at all. Now, Max Pacioretty today kind of looked at me, and he's like, I mean, I suppose that's a possibility, but he's like, we also know how important it is for us to be at home. Like, we have to try to catch those teams. Like, right now, it doesn't look like we are right there. It's gonna be, you know, a huge effort to get there, but he's like, we know we have to catch them. We need to get every single point we have. We need to play at home in the playoffs. So at least they're saying the right things that that's not an issue, but I think it absolutely can be an issue that they're just kind of locked into where they are.
364-1100, 364-1100. Hockey calls, let's do it. Is it fatigue? Is it complacency? Is it especially fatigue with Marc-Andre Fleury, which you guys, the hockey beat writers, pointed out time and time again, man, this is a lot of action early in the season.
We were called idiots.
You were called idiots by?
Well, fans for one, but also, you know, there was Gerard Gallant kind of shot down the question many times.
Okay. So what's happening here? Why are they in this swoon? Why can't they win on home ice? Is that now 8 losses or 9 at home for the year? They had 10 all of last year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. And Gerard Gallant said, and be careful, he said last night that they played a soft game. Now, a lot of people ran with that and said they're a soft team. He said they played a soft game, and I think they played a couple soft games. Nate Schmidt told me last night that...
Wait, he told you?
He did.
Okay.
He told me, you know, we need jam. Like, I don't know what that means necessarily, and he really didn't either. But he said, we need jam. We need something. We need to, and he said, you need to find the stones. You need to, he was kind of going through a whole gamut of what that means. But he said, take a cross check, give a cross check, punch somebody in the face, get punched, do something hard, fight for every square inch of the ice. And we're just not doing that. We're not that team right now. And that kind of goes to the same thing of Gerard Gallant said they played a soft game. Nate Schmidt is kind of saying they're a soft team right now. They need to fight. They need to find something to fight for. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, it's been discussed a lot that Gerard Gallant chewed them out after the game last night. I think he doesn't do that very often. He sees an issue right now that he's trying to address. And I think it will tell a lot how they react to that. How do they react to getting chewed out and called out for their game? And it doesn't get any easier. You know, we mentioned they're struggling, and now they've got Toronto and Nashville in their next two games here at home. That is a tall order. Now, as Gerard Gallant pointed out, they had a 4-game losing streak last week. They were playing at Tampa, and everybody said, oh, that's your fifth straight loss, and they found a way to win. So do they do that again? Do they beat Toronto and Nashville, and all of a sudden everything's fixed? Or does this become a real spiral?
364-1100, 364-1100. What's going on with the Knights? Because they are fading right now. They're having trouble as they're making a run towards the playoffs. Carl is with us on Cofield & Company. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, Adam, I know you're with the team a lot and everything else. Why are they not playing Subban? I think they need to. It's clear and evident, especially the last two games with Fleury really struggling. I don't know. I know his wife is due here pretty soon. I don't know if that's part of it. They're professional athletes. Well, why is Subban not getting any time? And why does this seem to be happening to the Knights, the only playoff team that is struggling like they are, up and down consistently all year so far,
yeah,
with the exception of that one stretch?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. And, you know, we're just kind of hitting on it a little bit. We as, you know, beat writers and, you know, myself, Dave Shane, Ben Goetz that work with me, we're asking the question time and time again. We were writing about it time and time again early in the season. Why isn't Malcolm Subban playing? Why are they playing Fleury every game? He's getting older. Their answer was, hey, he keeps saying he's fresh. He, you know, they need the points. They need to keep winning. Fleury gives them the best chance to win. But, you know, there's a reason teams play their backup goaltender as often as they do. The Knights have gone away from that strategy, but they did not have any trust in Malcolm Subban early in the season. He got to a point where he started to play a little bit better. He got a couple wins, and then he got hurt. And so he was out for a while. He's back now. He's healthy. I don't know if they're not confident in him as a player or not confident that he's fully back from his injury. But you need to find a way to get Fleury rest. They had other guys. They had, you know, Dansk up a little bit. Lagasse, of course, played the one game. But, you know, they do need to find places, I believe, to rest him. But now, we thought yesterday would be the day. Give him a rest. Don't play against Arizona. You've got Toronto and Nashville coming up. But they didn't. They played him. So now what do you do? Do you put Subban in? Like, I trust Subban. I think he's a good player. I think he could be a goaltender of the future. But they clearly don't. And so do you throw him out there against one of these teams? Do you throw him out there against his brother on Saturday? Do you play him tomorrow against Toronto, one of the, you know, the team that has the most firepower in the league? What do you do? I don't know when you try to find him spots to play if you're not going to play him in a game last night, the one game in this stretch you're not playing a playoff team.
364-1100. William is up on Cofield & Company. What's up, William?
Hey, what's going on? I think it's three factors. One of them is they're not as good as they were last year. That's just, you know, that happens. It's still an expansion team, even though it's augmented. It's an expansion team, and the way that the general management is building their team is for a longer term, not necessarily win a cup this year or last year. So they let players go that were a part of their chemistry last year. That this heart of the season, those kind of players would have been there.
Hey, hold on one second, William. Do you believe? Hey, William, hold on. Adam, do you believe that they are building more for the future, and that's why they've taken a step back this year?
I don't know if it's why they've taken a step back. I mean, I think they're clearly building for the future. Bill Foley said recently they will not trade a first-round pick because they are still committed to building for the future. But they did go out. They gave up picks to get Tatar last year, which they turned into Pacioretty. They have made moves to try to improve themselves and to get better. But, yeah, I mean, I think that they still are a team that has turned, you know, has looked at the future much more than others. And, you know, you do run into a little bit of a rut when you aren't sure if you're going for it now or playing for the future.
What else, William? Oh, what a nightmare. He said he had more points.
you stopped him after one.
Well, because I wanted you to answer it before, because William will go long.
Yeah.
All right, next conversation, not today. 364, 1100, those are the rules. Sorry, William. Dylan is up on ESPN 1100. Dylan.
Hello, everybody.
What's up, man?
I agree with the last call. They're just not that good, bro. They're an average team in a league where you have to be great. Forget about it. They're just not that good. They're very average. Hey, Steve, I'm from Maple Shade, New Jersey. You know it?
Yes.
South Jersey. What's going on?
Yeah.
Of course. So you're more of a Philly fan. You're more of a Philly fan. You're more of a Philly fan than a New York fan, right?
Once I moved to Vegas, bro, hey, this is hockey. This isn't baseball. You're only allowed one favorite team. Forget about it.
Okay.
VGK all the way.
All right. See you later, Dylan. Forget about it.
No, forget about it. It was a South Jersey.
From Maple Shade. All right. Bill is up on Cofield & Company. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Here's my a couple of things I wanted to throw out there. First,
They look not only physically tired to me, but they look mentally tired too. Whenever you see the after game interviews and stuff like that, Belmar, who's always energetic and stuff, looks very, you know, just exhausted mentally to me. And, you know, our game has always been speed, push, forecheck hard. And I was trying to think last night as I was running the game through my mind after it was over, because I haven't seen Gallant that mad in a long time. I was thinking, at what point in time was there a moment in the game where somebody threw a big check and the crowd went, ooh, one of those kind of things where somebody creates something and gets the momentum back? You know, even the guys that we counted on the most, the fourth line, that's our best forechecking line, and they would just come in and take over a shift, and the team would be pinned into their own end for, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and they couldn't get the puck out while we're making changes. And that wasn't happening last night either. So they looked mentally tired to me just as much as physically tired. And I think Flower definitely is exhausted right now. You can tell in his post-game interviews, he didn't, you know, they were asking him just basic questions, and he was just shaking his head. He really didn't even have words to put on it right now. So I think he's trying to wear it on his own shoulders all by himself, and, you know, which is completely unfair. And my last point before I leave is I want to ask you guys, what do you think is too much to pay to get a sniper to come in, to get somebody to put the puck in the net if they try to go for Panarin as a potential rental and maybe a long-term signing for next year?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, proposed last, it was kind of a joke mentioning Gritty and Chance being in the mix too, but I think Wayne Simmons is a guy out there who you get. Now, McPhee said he doesn't want rentals, which is, you know, I get it, but they have the picks, they have the capital, they have the cap space to go do that. And I don't know if they're going to change their philosophy on that or if that's just trying to drive down the market or what, but that's where he is in that he doesn't want to get a rental. But, you know, Panarin is a rental, Simmons is a rental. You could try to get Panarin long-term, I suppose. I don't know how much they want to give up. I'm sure the asking price is very high, especially for a Columbus team that's still in the mix. So I do think Simmons is more viable. I know that there was Philly scouts last night at the Vegas game. I know Vegas had two scouts at the Philly game the other night as well. It makes sense that they're looking in that direction. I think he's a guy who can be productive. They need production on the third line. The third line is doing nothing in large stretches. The first line also is they keep having stretches where they have like three or four games with a bunch of points and then nothing. So they need something to kind of shock the first line into more consistent production, and that's a lot of other teams planning for them and preparing for them and shutting them down. But they definitely need somebody on the third line. I think Simmons fits well in the third line. That's the direction I would be looking at.
James wants in on the conversation of why the Golden Knights are struggling of late, especially at home. James?
Yeah, I think Gallant hit the nail right on the head. And I hope he brings it to practice. They need to be more physical. It's very, very obvious. I think the rest of the league is on to them. They're very predictable. Their style is very predictable. And look at the way they last played Washington when they beat them. They were very, very physical. And they haven't been that way since. And I think they have to get more physical. I don't know about the cross-checking, but fighting, checking, hitting. I mean, the other teams are just waiting for them. They know what they're going to do. You guys agree with that?
Yeah. I think certainly if you, at the beginning when you mentioned, you know, they need to get more physical and you know, you hope it was at practice, I can promise you this was the most physical practice of the season today. And it was also by far the most animated Gallant has been. I mean, there was times when he was banging his stick on the wall, on the ice, screaming. You don't see that often. I promise you, I'm at practice every day.
I love the mental fatigue angle.
Yeah.
That guys are talking about, because I think it happens to all of us. I know it happens to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point after, you know, a few months of working almost every day where I just start coming unraveled, become a lunatic, more a lunatic than normal.
Yeah.
I could just see, you know, we mentioned it the other day with Fleury on the verge of tears after that Columbus game. I mean, he's feeling it here. There's a lot on his shoulders, and maybe the team's starting to feel it a little bit too. And we'll get back into practice a little bit. And also, we have to talk about what happened after the game. As Gerard Gallant told one of the media members that it was none of his business when he asked a question.
We are young.
It's Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
And a shot by Cousins deflected wide. Rebound in front. They score! Coyotes have taken the lead. 3-2 in Vegas.
You leave this house now.
No one can tell us where we're at.
You can just forget about coming back.
Glant.
Something Glant.
Sounds like Gerard Glant yelling at media members. Like yelling at children.
No more Glant.
Why? That's how you say his name, right?
I know it is. I can't do it. Glant. I can't do it.
So not only was last night's loss highlighted by plays like that, a bad third period, but also Glant snapping after the press after the game in a press conference. How long was the press conference?
1 minute and 28 seconds, I believe, was on my recorder.
Really? Because the clips I found on VGK.com were 50 seconds. Actually, I found one on Golden Knights' website, 50 seconds, and Helen Yee rolled on one that was 110. But then I saw Ryan Quigley. Who's that?
There's a website out there that he writes for.
So I saw a video with him, and I saw Glant snapping on people. Now, the audio is not very good on this, but I just want to play it so you have some effect. We tried to boost it, but it's not very loud. But there was a question saying that there was a message delivered before the players came out, right? Glant spent some extra time with the players and had a message.
Yeah, I'll set up. Usually the locker rooms open about 5 minutes after the game ends. We reporters were outside a long time last night. Okay. So it was pretty clear something was going on.
Okay. So this is the reaction by the coach.
What kind of was your message after
what
the day?
Guys? A couple of players?
Yes.
Typical.
Okay. So at the end, he says typical. His answer to Ken from Sinbin after he said, what did Ken exactly say?
The question was, a couple of the players said that you delivered a message after the game, that you came in and talked to them, which you don't usually do.
And I am no Golden Knights expert, but I know there's been multiple occasions this year when Glant has reacted strongly to, what did they tell you? They weren't supposed to tell you that.
Usually,
including going off on you one time, yeah. But I know it's been multiple occasions. If something comes out of that locker room that he thinks was confidential, it really pisses him off. So then he said, typical. So I'm guessing the typical was, oh, the players spilled the beans. I don't think the typical was, oh, you're snitching on the players. Am I right? The typical was, oh, they're doing it again. The players are talking again when they're not supposed to.
The typical was, it figures that the players would go to you guys and tell you again that I talked to them after the game. Like, it's typical of the players to release information that they shouldn't release. That's what he was saying.
He was hot. He was hot under the collar.
He was definitely upset that the players had told us that.
Then it's dead silence, probably 14 seconds. Everyone's just sitting there dumping themselves because he's looking around like, all right, who's next? And then someone speaks up because that question came from his right. And we have some other audio. That was from his right as well. He's looking to the left or the middle, and someone says something, I guess trying to follow up. We'll play this, but it's hard to understand.
You didn't hear? Do you think I'm going to tell you the message to the team? None of your business.
Okay. So you think I'm going to tell you the message, and then none of your business. So the person did not have a mic who, I guess, asked what?
The question was, well, what was your message?
Okay.
I mean, I think that's
and
fair.
And who asked the question?
That was some idiot, me.
You're not an idiot. Yeah. That's a moment where you need a follow-up. He's incensed that something got out of the locker room. Someone's got to ask, well, what was your message?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I'm an idiot for asking the question. I'm saying I'm an idiot in general.
You might be an idiot in his eyes. Yeah. None of your business.
No, but if, like, obviously you spoke to the team. We know that. You don't do it often. What was the message that you delivered? Now, I don't expect him to say exactly what he told them. I don't want details. But I think it's fair to ask him, what message did you deliver the team? What do you want them to know? And I think people are interested in that. And I absolutely feel it's a fair question. What was the message that you delivered to the team? He clearly did not agree with that.
This is troubling. This is troubling on a lot of fronts. First of all, dealing with the simple fact that, how old are you, young man?
39.
Okay. You're a 39-year-old adult. Well, what do you mean none? What do you mean none of your business? What are we doing? When did it become okay for coaches to speak to other adults like their children? You get paid to coach a game. Really, no one on the face of the earth should be speaking to other people like that. So that tone is inexcusable, and I'm guessing that either Gallant or the team felt it was inappropriate because you can't find it on the website.
No, you can't.
So if it was acceptable, they would have left it up there. Why'd they scrub it?
They clearly don't want it out there. I guess you could make the argument, which I would disagree with, but you could make the argument that the audio's not great, that there was no real value in...
The audio was fine on the question about the message, him saying, who told you that, and typical, the audio was fine on that. It wasn't fine where we pulled it from, but the audio, I'm sure the original audio was fine, that was... at a press conference in front of a microphone.
No, I will say...
Now, your audio sucked because you didn't grab a microphone.
Right, because it was one of those situations. You're supposed to wait for the microphone to ask a question, and this is the one small fault that I did have that I'll admit, but it was a weird situation. You wait for the microphone to ask a question. If you listen to that first answer, as we did, the room went silent. Nobody was saying anything, and nobody was asking for the microphone. Nobody wanted to talk. I don't care. I'll ask the question. And I thought it was a question that needed to be asked, and I just yelled it at him. I said, well, what was your message? I didn't wait for the microphone, so that's partly why there was no audio on that. But I think the point is the team didn't want that out there. The team didn't want everybody to see him just blow up on a very legitimate question. And you could also say, well, he didn't say anything. It was basically a no comment. So what's the point of having it out there? But they absolutely did wipe it from the video. It's not out there. And they sent out a transcript of the press conference. It's not on there either.
So it wasn't an audio issue then?
No. They just, I'm sure their answer would be, well, there was no news value in the fact that he didn't say anything. I would disagree with that.
Well, it's absolute news value. He's irked.
Of course.
He's annoyed with the team. This has been a constant theme. Multiple times the team has been spoken to or something happened in the locker room. Someone said something to you guys they weren't supposed to say. It bothered Gallant. And I think it's been eating at him. And when they go into losing streaks or when they're having a tough time, he gets especially edgy. And it's something we never saw last year.
Very rarely.
Right?
Yeah.
You're right. Never's incorrect.
Listen, he's a very temperamental guy.
He's an intense guy.
Yeah, there's no question.
The none of your business thing. You were at practice today?
Yeah.
Did you have access to Gallant?
Yeah.
Did he apologize to you?
No.
That's ridiculous.
I wasn't expecting it.
That's ridiculous. I don't care if you expected it or not. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he.
If you were someone who was a hit and run media person, and we have some of those people in this market, and lots of people around the country, and what does that mean?
Either talking about the team without ever going to a practice or a game,
right? Like Jay Mariotti, which is what aside from beating up women, what really irked people. Because that was really serious. Yeah. What really irked people in Chicago when he was a columnist is he would talk trash and write whatever he wanted, but never show up.
Right. So you
at
never,
games,
you he would never actually have the story because he wasn't actually there. He's just taking shots from outside, and you would never be able to say anything back to him because he wasn't there to say it. Like I'm there every day. If somebody doesn't like what I write or say here, I'm there.
There's accountability,
and
you got to show your face the next day.
Yeah, and we've done it, and I did it on the UFC forever. I mean. We've talked about it, that Dana White would call me and scream at me if he didn't like something I wrote all the time. Like, I'm there. It's fine if you want to come talk to me about it. I'm there. But, yeah, he didn't come talk to me, and I didn't expect him to today. I felt it was an interaction of asking the question, he answered it the way he wanted to,
and
whatever.
You're much more understanding than others. That's not proper conduct. And, again, I understand it gets heated. Maybe we all get heated. Like, I don't like losing.
Yeah,
you know, I don't like in my little competition. These 3 hours, I can be unbearable.
Just those 3 hours.
I know, but during the 3 hours, especially when this is our competition, and I'm not happy about something. Sometimes you hear about it. Sometimes I don't deliver it the right way. I try to after So you know what? Sorry.
And in fairness,
but I don't know. If I'm saying I'm an adult, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. In fairness, if I was,
but I would have apologized to you.
If I was in that position, I'd probably act very similar. I'm very.
No, you wouldn't.
Sore sports.
No. No, because the next day you'd think about it. You'd think about the exchange, and you would say sorry.
Yeah, it's probably true.
And again, you're not a hit-and-run guy. You're not someone who shows up once a week and is busting chops. And you're there every day.
There's also media people that will only show up when there's negative things to talk about.
Yep.
And I'll tell you this. There was a lot of people there today that I don't see very often at practice.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah. So after the explosion, they're like, ooh, goody-goody, something's going to happen.
The press conference room was full today. It's never full. Sometimes there's four of us in there. It was full. Like 25 media people there today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, more on what's cooking with Gerard Glant and VGK. We'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. We got some football coming up. Also, strong statements. I'll tell you, talk about stepping out of line. Chris Sale had something really interesting to say about how baseball is operating in terms of spending money, and it directly relates to a guy the Red Sox right now are saying, we're not bringing him back.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. We belong together.
And you know that I'm right. All right, Chrissy's in Valentine's week mode. Good job. Crank it up. He was dropping so early. You know, we were talking karaoke yesterday. This has to be on the approved list. We were talking to one of the dudes from ESPN, and he was like, I have all these karaoke songs banned. Like, why? It's a great one. We need a little Boys to Men for the Steelers. There's a sad theme going on right now with the Steelers and breakups. Or is there a breakup? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Ike Taylor's a guy who knows the Steelers well. He's with NFL Network. What's up, Ike?
What's up? I like that Boys to Men y'all got in the background, though.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's that throwback old school right there.
Yes, we are all about love. And we've had the argument before whether Boys to Men is a boys band. And my partner, Adam, who actually walked out right now, always gets incensed that they are not a boy band.
Oh, okay.
Let's get into what's going on with Antonio Bryant.
Well, AB?
Yep, and that video he put out, the goodbye video.
I mean, what you mean was everybody got their own opinion about AB, but, you know, from what I know, I don't think anybody works harder than AB. I don't think anybody loves the game more than AB. We act like Hall of Fame wide receivers aren't divas. They always open, even when they're not open.
Right.
They want the ball all the time, especially in clutch situations. So when you got a guy who's just all out with football, like, I feel like, man, we just keep trying to make AB the bad guy. So, all right, we make AB the bad guy, but he's very productive. And, of course, I think, you know, AB at some point in time, he got to chill out on how he act, especially during the game. But at the same time, man, you can't knock the man on how he acts in the offseason. Like, he's going to award shows. If you watch his Instagram, he's consistently working out. So, he's a family man. He take care of his kids. Like, we acting like AB ain't doing the right thing. So, AB kept catching a temper tantrum a few times on the sideline, you know, and we let other guys, you know, other quarterbacks, they catch a temper tantrum on the sideline, and they showing passion for the game. AB catches a temper tantrum on the sideline, and he's selfish. So now we just playing both sides of the field. So, I mean, at some point in time, man, I don't know if it's bigger than AB, but, yeah, do AB have to chill out? Yeah, for sure, I think AB got to chill out. Do I think anybody's more passionate than AB? Do I think anybody works harder than AB in the offseason? No. Not one. So, some guys, we give the green light when they catch temper tantrums on the sideline. They got passion. AB catches temper tantrum on the sideline, it's an issue.
Right.
But since 2011, no receiver has been more productive than AB. And by the way, he's a six-round draft pick. So, of course, you want AJ Green to shine. Of course, you want Julio to shine. Of course, you want OBJ to shine. Of course, you want all these first-round draft pick receivers to shine. But we keep forgetting this man is a six-round draft pick. So what do we have probably more than all the other receivers? A chip on the shoulder. What does Tom Brady have most all than the rest of the quarterbacks? Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, the Big yep. Bens, the six-round draft pick. The what? The chip on the shoulder.
Yep.
So now we got guys, Jerry Rice, second-day draft pick, the chip on the shoulder. So all of a sudden, it's an issue because you're not a first-rounder. But when you ain't a first-rounder, you can't have that chip on your shoulder. But Tom Brady got six, right? Six Super Bowl rings. Since 2011, no other receiver has been doing what AB been doing. But they ain't first-rounders. So they can't have that chip on their shoulder. But that's their drive, the chip on the shoulder. Tell me what I can't do. Please don't tell me what I've done. Tell me what I can't do so I can show
well,
you.
Here's the thing.
I can do it.
Ike, we can't because we have no consistency. So you just pointed that out, talking about you know Brady versus – and by the way, I threw you off. I said Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown. Brown. So you mentioned early in your comments – he gets branded as the bad guy. Let's just talk about the Steelers. There are a lot of strong personalities on the Steelers, and there's been some conversation about, hey, you know what? Big Ben deserves a little bit of the blame in this brouhaha that's going down with AB and the Steelers, doesn't he?
They start with the head guy. So if the quarterback is one of your leads, the head guy got to take some kind of ownership. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's all the brotherhood. So the brotherhood got to be as strong as the media. That's how we won two Super Bowls. That's how I've been in three and won two. The brotherhood was stronger than the media. So at some point in time, man, what we did when I played, hey, man, y'all boys leave y'all egos at the door. Once y'all come through this door on the south side in Pittsburgh, man, you got to be unselfish. And when you be unselfish, we win. And when you win, everybody get paid. And the talent we had, we benefited from winning rings. Got a lifetime scholarship in Pittsburgh. Not because I caught balls, because I won two championships. So when I got there, we had four. I had four trophies. When I left, we had six. So it was the unselfishness. It was the brotherhood. It wasn't me. It wasn't I. It was we. And just looking at it from a distance, that's what I think Pittsburgh got to get back to. What we doing. Not what I do. Or look at me. What we doing. Because we, by the end of the day, man, it goes a long way. I'm still in the 16-man group text from the 05 championship and the 09 championship. We still in the group text to this day. Because we understood it was we. Guys still stayed in Pittsburgh and took less because we understood it was we. We understood. Bring him home. That Lombardi Trophy, you will have a lifetime scholarship in Pittsburgh, and you will be set for the rest of your life. You will be in history for the rest of your life. So everybody knew Troy was Michael Jackson, and we was the Jackson 5. We all knew that. We all knew we had somebody special. AB is somebody special. Can't deny him. As much as you don't like the way he acts, you can't deny him, because you can go down the list of a lot of Hall of Fame wide receivers who didn't act right on or off the field, who was divas on or off the field. Matter of fact, you can go through a lot of Hall of Famers, period, who didn't act right off the field. So we talking about AB acting right, not acting right on the field? Because off the field, you see what the man do. He got a whole story every day. What he doing? Working out, eating right with his family. So we don't like that. So we just going to talk about his few temper tantrums on the field. Well, you can go through a lot of Hall of Famers and see what they did off the field that you don't want to talk about.
So right now, you would have no problem trading. Would you trade a first to get AB?
I'm not trading AB.
You're not moving him?
I'm not trading AB. That's what I'm not going to do. Yeah, he can be mad all he wants to. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm not trading AB. Hey, seven. Seven is a big bit. Hey, front office, owners, coaches. Hey, AB. Hey, man. This is what we doing the end of February 28th. We got to meet, beat up all us. This is what we doing. We gonna hash this out, cause that what grown men do. We talk it out. We don't go to the media. Like, if I had a problem with my teammate, I'm going to him. I'm not going to the media. I'm going to my teammate.
You think AB's open to this? Someone on that team or someone's on that team, hey, can go to him and smooth this over.
Hey, don't call or text me. Let's meet up for dinner. I'm over this call and text. Because when we talking about calling and texting, y'all get to hit the button, take a shot of the picture, then y'all go give it to the media. Nah, let's go to dinner privately.
When you talk about, you know, kind of sitting down and having the discussion, though, at some point, there has to be a time where everybody buys in. I mean, you had to have experienced times in your life when...
That's the only way you win, when you buy in. And that's my whole point of being unselfish. When you buy in, you're unselfish. You don't care about you. When you buy in, it's not about you anymore.
But what if the message isn't received and people don't want to receive the message?
Well, if you don't want to receive the message, you got to go. But when you buy in, it's not about you.
Right, well, we're confused. So is Antonio Brown willing to buy in, or did that video the other day say, you know what, I'm done, it's time to move on? I'm lost on what he wants. He seems to want to leave, but you want it to be fixed. Does he want it to be fixed? Is he open to it anymore?
Right now the problem is 7 and 84. Them two got to sit down and buy in.
Yep.
Point blank, period. Heck with the coaches, heck with the front office. Between them two, they got to sit down and buy in. Then them two can go to the front office and the coaches like, this is what we talked about, this is what we agreed on, we cool. Let's go to 2019 and see if we can win the seventh trophy. Them two got to talk it out. Them two got to hash it out.
Uh-oh. I think we lost him. Maybe that was a mic drop.
It was worth it.
It was good. It was a good close.
Good enough close.
If that was it. Chrissy, tell him thanks. That was good. Now, here's the question. Those two working it out, is Big Ben going to extend the olive branch? Does he need to anymore? He's got Juju.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I was down with everything that Ike was saying. I just think there's a point where people just stop wanting to hear the message. They stop wanting to hear, like, those teams bought in, and he's right. When they do buy in and they say, hey, this is where we're at, you can find success. But sometimes you're just going to have a guy that's like, yeah, I'm out. I'm not going to participate in this. I don't want to buy in.
So what was the video? Was that final declaration, I'm Dunsky, or it's, hey, guys, please come and get me. I want to be embraced.
I thought it was the first one. Maybe it is the second one. Maybe it's nobody's begging me enough. No, like, I said I was going to be out of here. I thought it would be, like, the front office, the coach, the other players at my doorstep with a boombox singing, whatever your 80s movies are. Like, I think that's what he was hoping for. Say anything? Is that it? God, got it. So maybe that's what he expected. And then when he didn't get that, when it was like, all right, cool, you're done, he decides to put out a video and maybe this is what's going to draw everybody to come beg him. I don't think that's the case.
I think they're ready to move on. To me, the suspension at the end of the season was the final straw, and then he's continued to be petulant. And here's the other thing. Ike's wrong on, you know, whatever Hulk Hogan thing he was selling there about, you know, eating the vitamins and, you know, being Mr. America. Antonio Brown's had issues during the season and since the season has ended. Just nonsense going on around him. So yeah. Now he's coming unraveled off the field.
Yeah. I think there's many reasons that Pittsburgh has decided they're moving on from one of the best players in the league. Like, to be that good, and you're seeing it in New York a little bit too with Beckham, but to be that good and to have a team pretty much be done with you, like, it's not that you're a model citizen, usually. In some cases, you're a model citizen that just rubs people the wrong way. I can get that. But usually there's going to be a lot there if a team is going to be willing to part ways with one of the better players in the league.
4 o'clock hours on the way. Justin Watkins is in. We have waited a while, but we have to get to one of our documentary discussions.
Yeah,
so many legal issues from this weirdo documentary that apparently Adam Hill turned on, most of Vegas too, Abducted in Plain Sight.